thankful for the way you moved, and quite a blessing. And my message tonight, I've titled it "Without Him." And for a short period of my life, I went without the Lord. I wasn't serving Him like I should have been, and it wasn't fun. I made a lot of mistakes, and I don't see why anyone would want to choose that. I mean, I like Lydia's song, I choose Him, choose Christ. And the choice is ours. The Lord gives us a freedom. You know, we can either have Him or we can turn Him away. Much of the world is not wanting Him. And it's sad to see the condition the world's getting in today, but you know, if they all had Jesus, you know, it'd be a lot better place. But we know how it's going to progress until the Lord comes, but He's going to take us out of here, and we're going to go to a place where there will be everyone wanting Christ. They have made the right choice. But I'm going to start reading in Genesis 6 and 5. I'll turn there. It didn't take long after the beginning of time and creation where things kind of went south and God's people had a wicked heart. It says here in Genesis 6 and 5, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, God, that we do have the privilege to call on You, accept You as our Savior and our Lord. And just pray, God, that You'd have Your way in the service, Lord. Just touch hearts, Lord. Draw us close to You. Help us be ready, Lord God, for Your return. We just pray, God, just have Your way, Lord. And Lord, we give You the praise and thanks for Your mercy and Your kindness, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So we see man's heart, his imagination of his thoughts, of his heart was only evil continually. And that's what it's like in the world without Jesus. We can go to a lot of third world countries, and we don't have to go there, even here in America. I mean, you can see people's hearts turning that way, and it's just saddening, you know, to see the condition of their life. And if they only knew how much better they could have it if they would surrender to the Lord, and He would bless them. But I just thank the Lord that I come across someone that led me to the Lord, and I surrendered to Him, and I don't want to be without Him ever again. And I want to serve Him the rest of my life. And anyway, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." He was one of the people that did have the Lord. He was had God, and he wasn't without Him. But he was a righteous man. He walked with God. It says in verse 9, "These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God." And he was a preacher of righteousness. He tried to warn people of the flood coming and prepare them. And I'm sure he got ridiculed and turned down his message. But anyway, he was obeying God. He did what he was supposed to do. He told them, warned him, and yet many rejected him. Verse 11 says, "The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth." And as I look at the condition of the public schools today, and, you know, they wanting Christ out of the schools, and we see all the shootings, you know, the violence, the drugs, things like this, and even in our federal buildings, you know, they don't want to mention God, and the courts, and even in the streets, you know, you can just go to Walmart to get something and run into some situation, you know, where you could lose your life. And it's just the way it is in the last days. God said it would be perilous times. But Mark 7:18. It says, and he said to them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but in the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So it's not what we eat or things like that. You know, there's some people in the Old Testament, they had the little rituals they went through, but it wasn't doing those that helped the man, but it was what come out of the man that defiled him. It wasn't from eating with unwashed hands, like the Pharisees, I think it was said, but you know, we need our heart cleansed from inside out, and you know, the wickedness in there without Jesus. Without him, we can't have it removed. He's the only one that creates a new man out of us. He comes in and a new creation, and he changes a man and gives him a new outlook on life, a new purpose. And we'll go to John 8 and 7. It says, so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. So this lady, they found her in the act of adultery, and they were wanting to stone her, and they was bashing her because of her sins. But Jesus had compassion on her. He said, which of you are without sin? And we look at our own lives. There's not a single one of us that hasn't made mistakes in the past. We've all failed the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us all of us as sin comes short of the glory of God. So without Christ, you know, we're all going to mess up. We don't have any hope of making it without him, as he is the only way. In John 15 and 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And so we got to abide in Christ. If he wasn't in our life, if we didn't have him as our Lord, there would be no hope, like I said, of living right for him and keeping God's commandments. And it says in verse 10, for if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So without Christ and obedience to his word, we can't make it to heaven, and we can't please the Father. And it says when we do obey him and keep his word, then we'll have that joy abiding inside of us. Without Jesus, there is no joy. You're just empty inside, and you have a void there that needs filled that only Christ can fill. And Romans 5 and 5. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And we were yet without strength. In due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man someone even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled by God to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, ye shall be saved by his life." And so it says here, even when we were in sin, we were out there just pleasing our own selves and partaking of the lust of the flesh and just whatever we desired to go after. We didn't care about pleasing God, and we didn't really know anything about him, didn't care. He still loved us. He was willing to go to the cross and shed his blood for us, give his very life for us. And if it wasn't for him, without him, no one else could have paid that price. It was only his precious blood that could pay it. And it says, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So without his blood, we do face wrath. We'll pay that penalty for sin ourselves. And the wages of sin is death. And so we can't be justified without the blood of Christ. In Romans 10 and 12, it says, "There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call in the name of the Lord shall be saved." So if we didn't have Christ to call on, who would we call on? I mean, like tells us in Acts 4 and 12, it says, "None other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved." So he is the only one qualified to save us and redeem us, bring us back. Verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Without Christ, there will be no word of God. He is the word of God, the word made flesh, dwell among us." And we would have no faith if we didn't hear that word. And Ephesians 1 and 3, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted into the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace." So it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with all spiritual blessings." There would be no spiritual blessings without Christ. And he has chosen us to be adopted into his family. Without him, we couldn't come into the family of God. And we couldn't be adopted into his family. And it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." Once again, it's only through the blood of Christ, none other way. And according to the riches of his grace. And we would have no grace without him. He is the one that shows mercy and kindness to us. Even though we don't deserve it, he loved us still. Ephesians 2 and 1. It says, "In you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So we all walked according to the prince of the power of the air. It would be the devil. We were doing his bidding, doing his work for him. Didn't even realize it. You know, we were being used as a pawn by him and accomplishing what he desired. And he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So we don't want to be a part of him and his work. It's among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we only had wrath to look forward to if we didn't have Christ in our life. And says, by grace, verse 8, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. And that gift would not have been available to us without Christ going to Calvary. He was God the Father was willing to let his Son go and pay the penalty for our sins and be in our place, a vicarious death. And thankful for that love he had for the whole world that he would do so. In Hebrews 4:14, says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So we have that high priest. He was willing to go in there and behalf to the God the Father for our sake. And it says he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He was perfect without sin, and it qualified him to pay that penalty for us. In Hebrews 9:8, it says, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way of the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And once again, that holy blood of Christ, it was sinless. And it was a perfect sacrifice. It was in the Old Testament, it was looking forward to Christ coming, and he was the fulfillment of that. And it says in verse 14, for much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, which they are called, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Thank God for that mediator going in our behalf and trying to help us. And he was successful. He accomplished the mission he set out to do. And thankful that he was there for us. Verse 22, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission. So that sacrifice was necessary for our sake to set us free. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, for without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of those of them that diligently seek him. So what would we do if we couldn't seek Christ? I mean, if we don't seek him diligently, the reward would not be there. And it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. We got to hear the word of God, and we got to believe in Christ. And if it wasn't for him, we would have no hope. In Jude 1:6, tells us even that the angels would be without hope, without Christ. They rebelled against God, some of them. They went against his will. In verse 6 says, "The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day." And so there will be judgment for those that rebelled against Christ, even the angels. And verse 20, it says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And once again, without him, the Holy Ghost wouldn't be there. The Father wouldn't have sent it back, him back to us to help us. And we couldn't keep ourselves in the love of God, praying in the Holy Ghost, if it wasn't for Christ. And Revelation 20:15, it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast to the lake of fire. Without him, our name would not be in that book. We would end up in the place of torment forever." And getting on the pastor's favorite verse here. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men." So we would have no life without Christ, and he is the creator. He is the one that made all things. So things wouldn't even exist without him. And we can also look in Colossians 1:16. It said, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence." So God's, the Father is giving him a high position above all else. And it says, "Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord one day." And if we reject him now, even the sinners, one day they will admit that he is Lord. And it will not benefit them at that time, but, you know, they'll confess that he was Lord. In Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him, will sup with him, and he with me." So that invitation there is available to all that has a desire to fellowship with God and have him in their life and be their Lord. But without him, once again, there would be no hope. There would be no victory without him. There would be no overcomers. The Bible says we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And it's only by that precious blood that we overcome. And there's benefits in Revelation 3 to the overcomers. But without him, we would not be an overcomer. There'd be no salvation, no peace, no eternal life. There'd be no holiness, no hope. You know, without Jesus, he is all. And I'm just thankful, you know, we have it made. We do know the Lord. We have it so good. And many times you don't recognize what you got to, you miss it. It's gone. But we take the Lord for granted many times, and we fail to praise him enough. But he is deserving of all our praise. And I'm thankful that he is in our life. And like I said, he came and blessed us so abundantly this morning. And he'll do it any time we humble our heart and just invite him in and come into his presence and let him have his way. I'll turn it to you, Pastor.
Praise the Lord.